السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون. وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول قبل منامه: اللهم أسلمت نفسي إليك، ووجهت وجهي إليك، وفوضت أمري إليك، وألجأت ظهري إليك، لا ملجأ ولا منجأ منك إلا إليك، آمنت بكتابك الذي أنزلت وبنبيك الذي أرسلت، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise and all thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us such a beautiful occasion, such a beautiful opportunity to gather in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a few moments. This indeed is a great, great, great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a favor that a person will only appreciate and really appreciate when the eyes close. When the eyes close, then every second of this world, every moment that a person spent productively, now that is something that he'll treasure. Because now that becomes his foreign currency, like a person traveling overseas. Now that becomes his currency that he can use those sawab and that ajr that he got for the moments that he spent correctly. And at the same time, that person who didn't use his time correctly, who wasted his moments, wasted his time, he didn't appreciate moments like this, the moments of Jumu'ah, the great occasions and the coming of the great month of Ramadan, then this person will be in tremendous regret on the day of Qiyamah. That's why the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيْسَ يَتَحَسَّرُ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا عَلَى سَاعَةٍ مَرَّتْ بِهِمْ وَلَمْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِيهَا. Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that after a person, explaining that when a person now enters Jannah, and this person enters Jannah, then he sees the glitz, the glamour, the beauty, the enchantment, every type of enjoyment that is present there for him, this person experiences it, it sees him, he sees it. There's no thing of grief, there's no thing of sorrow, there's no tiredness, there's no pain, there's no hardship as far as what we know as worldly hardships are concerned. There's nothing. There's only enjoyment and enjoyment and beauty and beauty. And then beauty also keeps on increasing. It keeps increasing. Ulama explained, a person, for example, has a beautiful plate of biryani in front of him. That first bite he takes, he'll enjoy it. Second bite he takes, he'll enjoy it. He'll continue enjoying it, but up to a certain extent until he's full. Now he doesn't enjoy it anymore because now it's a burden for him to eat because he's forcing himself. After he can't take anymore, if somebody gives him more to eat, he doesn't want to eat. He feels like throwing up, that he can't eat anymore. So that enjoyment continues to a certain point and then it cuts off. And then to such an extent that enjoyment also now causes inconvenience to a person in this world. But in general, that enjoyment will just continue increasing and increasing and increasing. And every second and every moment, that enjoyment also will be different and it will be increased. But yet when a person enters Jannah, then he'll regret. لَيْسَ يَتَحَسَّرُ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا عَلَى سَاعَةٍ مَرَّتْ بِهِمْ وَلَمْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. He'll regret one thing, that he'll regret those moments that in this world he didn't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those moments. He was so entrapped and he was so engrossed in his occupations that for those moments he forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. So therefore, when these opportunities come, like we know tomorrow night, inshallah, will be Shab-e Barat, we should try and take advantage from the first moment. A person who's running the marathon, comrade marathon, for example, not something that we should be doing, but a good example, just as an example, he has a head start, automatically he's ahead. A person who's running a 100-meter sprint, if he's already got a lead from the beginning, he's gone far ahead. So like that, when these auspicious nights come, we generally wait for after Isha, we wait for the program, then we want to start with our ibadah. But the night actually sets in from the time of Maghrib. So an intelligent person is, he'll already start his ibadah from Maghrib, before Maghrib he's already there in dua, etc. Maghrib salat comes, after Maghrib now he'll extend his awabin, he'll extend his tilawat, he'll stay for a longer period in the masjid. Then if he needs to go home, he'll go home for a short while and he's back again early in the masjid. So he's already got a head start from those people that want to start their ibadat and start their extra worship after the Isha Salah. So this is something that we can implement. So these moments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, they are moments to treasure, moments to value, and moments to take advantage of. Anyway, the ayat of the Quran which I've read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a continuation from last week. We were speaking about the Bani Israel, that the ulama, specifically the ulama of the Bani Israel, they had these two qualities, that they had that love of that position that they had, that recognition that they were getting because of their position, and because of their position and that fellowship that they had, they were getting benefits, perks, that they could not give up. So even though they knew the coming of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 100% true, they knew he was a Nabi, but because they didn't want to give up this, they were not prepared to accept Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining, wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah, that gain the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through sabr and salat. And then we explain that what is the link between sabr and salat, and how salat, sabr and salat can help a person to get rid of this desire of wealth and get rid of this desire of recognition, and how they interlink. Just quickly to recap, that this sabr is such a thing that it helps a person leave out haram. Sabr is such a thing that helps a person leave out haram. A person is tempted to look at some woman. Now he makes sabr at that moment, it helps him to stay away from that haram. A person at some point wants to back answer his parents, his seniors, his elders. He holds back, he makes sabr at that moment. Now that stops him from something that is wrong. A person is tempted to give a bribery. He's tempted to sell some goods that are faulty or some grey stock without informing the customer. So now a person makes sabr that money that I'm going to get, that money is not good for me. I make sabr upon that extra that I can see in front of me. He holds back himself from doing something that is wrong. A person is tempted to commit some type of zina, etc. He makes sabr at that moment. And that sabr is helping him to save himself from haram. And salah, we mentioned that even it is training the person, like how sabr is training a person to stay away from haram, salah is training a person to even stay away from halal. How a person makes Allahu Akbar, he starts his salah. Now his best friend that is next to him, he can't talk to his friend. Before salah, he could look around and there was a beautiful scenery in front of him, beautiful grass, beautiful trees, mountain, waterfalls. He starts his salah day, he got to be focused at the place of salah. Even what was halal for him to look at now, he's controlling himself, saving himself from halal. He could eat before that, if there was a beautiful food around him, he could have eaten that halal food. But now when the salah starts, that halal also he has to refrain from. So many things of that are halal in nature. Salah helps a person, trains a person to refrain from. So now when a person has got the sabr in his life, training him to stay away from haram, salah that is training him to restrain even from those things that are halal, now a person automatically is trained that how can I do these things, this recognition that I'm desiring for, this fame and this pomp and this glory that I'm desiring, this has to come to an end. That's why one poet so beautifully said, he said, explaining that this glamour and the glitz of this world, at some point it comes to an end. So he says that sab taat para reh jayega jab khat chalega banjara. Sab taat para reh jayega jab khat chalega banjara. When does all the show finish? Person in this world might have, he may be flying first class, he may be dressing in the best clothes, he's got all the style, he's got all the servants, he's got everything with him, all the show and all the glamour and all the glory that people look for. But he explains, the poet explains, that sab taat para reh jayega, that all the show and all this glamour and all this glory, it just remains one side. When? Jab khat chalega banjara. When the janaza just reaches that kabristan, all the show is over. All the show is over. Now people don't even start praising his cars anymore. People don't praise his jackets anymore. They don't praise what this man used to do. Why? Because the show is completely over. Therefore, there's an English saying, you know, it isn't over until the fat lady sings. But in Islam, how it is, when a man's janaza reaches the kabristan, everything is over. Whatever show he had also, that also is over. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged us that aksiru dhikra hazim al-lazat, yani al-maut, that increase in the remembrance of the thing that will cut off all the pleasures. Increase in that remembrance. Increase in that remembrance, because a person increasing in that remembrance will help a person now be more focused in life. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on further to say that even this is difficult. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. except for those people that humbly submit themselves. They submit themselves totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For these people now it becomes easy to practice on this sabr and salat. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on further to say that for who now this now is possible and easy. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those people that have akhirat in front of them. Akhirat is in front of them. Akhirat is glazing in front. Akhirat is bare in front of them. It's as though they are witnessing and they are in touch that there is such a thing as akhirat. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that person that fears standing in the tribunal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He fears that I got to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today a man going to court is fearing that when I'm in a box, I don't know how I'm going to answer the questions. That we ever think when we're standing in the box in front of the tribunal or in the tribunal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how are we going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. For those people that got akhirat in front of them, now to humbly submit in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes very easy. Therefore the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I read in the khutbah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would recite this dua before he slept, and he would encourage people that let these be your last words before you sleep every night. Let these be your last words before you sleep every night, showing that when a person also is going to sleep, he's reminding himself of the haqiqat and the reality that one day I'm going to sleep and I'm not going to wake up in this world. I'm going to sleep and I'm going to wake up in akhirat. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read, like one person so nicely explained, one alim explained so nicely. He says that a man is eating of this earth his whole life. His whole life is eating of this earth. Whatever is on this earth he's eating of. Maybe 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. But a day will come when the earth will eat him in one bite. In one morsel that earth will eat him. One shot, just one morsel. It won't take so long to eat like how he ate of the earth. In one morsel that earth will eat him, and that will be the end of this person as far as the dunya is concerned. So anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite this dua to show us how in touch Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how manus Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with death and with akhirat. My ustad, as Mufti sahab mentions, that on one occasion, he asked his ustad, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, he said that when I make tilawat of Quran, he reads a lot of Quran Sharif, when I make tilawat of Quran, what I do is I build up my sajdai tilawat. Sometimes I build it up to 20 or 30, and then one time I make all my sajdai tilawat. Is this permissible? Is this okay what I'm doing? So he said, my ustad, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, gives such an answer up till today that the answer is in my mind. He said, kya zindagi ka koi barosa hai? Is there any guarantee of life that even your sajdai tilawat, you want to build it up? The moment that sajdai tilawat comes due, make that sajdai tilawat. So as far as life is concerned, there is no guarantee. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would make this dua, Allahumma aslam tu nafsi ilayk. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm submitting totally to you. Why? Because the person is going to sleep, it is as though this person is experiencing one type of death. This is a sister of death. The sleep that we have actually is one type of death that a person experiences. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's affinity, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's compatibility, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's closeness with maut was so much that even from his du'as you can make out that what istihzar Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had at akhirat. Therefore Hazrat Shah Sahib used to mention, Hazrat Shah Anwar Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi would say that even the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is a miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. That the du'as and the choice of words that he had in his du'as, these are such miracles that they got so much in it. They are so full of meaning and wisdom. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am submitting myself totally to you. Aslamtu nafsi ilayk wa wajjahtu wajhi ilayk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am focusing directly towards you. As though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else means anything to me. Nothing else means anything to me. Our Buzurganuddin, sometimes they will say it in different words. But it has the same effect. Often we hear advices and we hear words and words of poetry from our akabir. Sometimes we think that these words are just coming from them. But these words are not coming from them. They're actually coming from the hadith. It's actually the nature of the hadith. Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this riwayat comes in Bukhari Sharif. Once he was addressing some ulama of his time. Now imagine that was from the Khairul Qurun. And that time he's telling the ulama of his time, he's telling them, istaqimu faqad subiqtum sabqan ba'ida. That, remember, stay firm, stay very, very firm. Don't move right. Wa in akhastum yameenan aw shimalan faqad dalaltum dalalan ba'ida. That if you people have to just deviate from the path, right or the left, you don't stay firm, you don't have that level of istiqamah in you, then remember something, that you people will go into great dalal. So he's telling them, فَقَدْ سُبِقْتُمْ سَبْقًا بَعِيدًا. You people have been preceded. One way of reading is سُبِقْتُمْ, other way is سَبَقْتُمْ. But we're just taking this explanation that those people that have gone ahead, those people that have preceded you have gone far ahead, meaning the Sahaba and those close companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You've got a lot of mileage to catch up. There's a lot of mileage to do still to catch up and to be with them. If you want to be with them, you can't afford to go to the left, you can't afford to go to the right. And our Buzughanuddin Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayhi, when he would explain this, he would just say, Dun aur Diyan se kaam karo. Dun aur Diyan, in two words, in two niwalas, they say, in two muscles, he'll give us the crux of what Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu is saying. He's saying, when you do something, do it with complete devotion and complete dedication. Don't get affected by what's happening on the left, all the excitement on the right. The World Cup is coming, this shouldn't even affect us. Actually, this is something that should be very, very far away from a believer. The month of Ramadan is coming, the thought shouldn't even cross the mind of a believer that what is happening as far as the World Cup is concerned, this shouldn't even be part of our life. In fact, when the month of Ramadan comes, we should be so careful how every second of the month of Ramadan we can look after. Ibn Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu is telling the people of the Khairul Quran, how can we be distracted now when we got so much more to catch up? We are so far away, there's so much more for us to do. How can we ever be distracted by these type of things? So a Muslim is not distracted by these type of things. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَوَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِ إِلَيْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانُ وَتَعَلَىٰ, I am totally focused on you. وَالْجَأْتُ ظَهْرِي إِلَيْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانُ وَتَعَلَىٰ, I have given myself totally in your protection. I am taking total protection from you. ظَهْر means back. But in Arabic, sometimes when you mention one part, you can refer to the whole body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even as far as my body is concerned, I have given that also in your protection. وَفَوَّدْتُ أَمْرِي إِلَيْكَ, whatever matters I have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am handing these matters over to you. Can you imagine what a high level of recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes a man goes to sleep, he's thinking of the bank manager, he's thinking of his accountant, he's thinking of this friend and that contact and this person I want to meet tomorrow. What is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying? Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever affairs I got, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm handing these affairs over to you. La malja'a wa la manja'a minka illa ilayk, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no place of fleeing. Today when a person, he does have the town down, next thing you heard, this man is gone. We don't know where he's gone. He's gone to Dubai, he's gone to Australia, he's gone to Canada, he's gone this part of the world, the person is fleeing. But when it comes to fleeing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la malja, there's no place of fleeing. Wala manja, no place of sanctuary, no place of hiding, no fort. He can't hire any defense, he can't hire any security, he can't get governmental protection. There's nothing when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, minka illa ilayk. The only protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would say, La manja wa la manja illa ilayk, amantu bi kitabika alladhi anzalt. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe completely in that Quran Sharif, in that kitab that you have sent. Wa bi nabiyika alladhi arsalt. And I also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe in that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you have sent. Teaching us this dua, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, that did this be the last words that a person say? Let this be the last words when you sleep. That turn your tawajjuh totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person's tawajjuh is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it's on akhirat, then automatically everything else falls in place. A person has the system of accountability. You know, normally come to financial year and people are all afraid the auditors are coming in. It's a great, in every company they talk, the auditors are coming, auditors are coming. Why? There's some type of check that's going to take place. When a person has akhirat, he has the istihzar of akhirat in front of him, he's automatically thinking that there's a great, great audit that's going to take place. Our books are going to be presented to us, and in those books there will be nothing that will be left out. The best bookkeeping system in the world can't capture and can't take account of the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have, and when a person's books will be presented to him on the day of Qiyamah. So therefore, we should also, this ayat of the Quran that I mentioned, أَلَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. It will help a person put things into perspective. When he's got akhirat in front of him, he's got thinking that one day I'll have to, وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يُوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْضًا, that I'll have to present myself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. There won't even be a tarjuman. There won't even be somebody to interpret what I'm saying. Today I could have interpreted whatever I was saying via my attorney. There was somebody to translate what I'm saying. There was somebody to make ta'wil of what I'm saying, to make some type of interpretation. The day will come when a person won't have anybody. He'll be, the person has this in front of him, then his Shab-e Barat will be a different night. His Ramadan will be different. The person's tilawat will be different. A person's dealings will be different. A person's salat will be different. Why? Because now he's got the istihzar and he's got the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of him all the time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of having a good shab-e-barat, spending the night properly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that our Ramadan also is spent properly. And it can only happen, brothers, if we prepare for it from now. It's not going to happen suddenly a person is just not cared about Ramadan and just waits for the day to come. He starts getting his affairs in order from now. So when Ramadan comes, then there's a seamless integration into the month of Ramadan. Why? He's already prepared for it before the month has come. Allah give us all tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.